the back door creaks.
I think this. All right, everyone, welcome back to Stack the Pad slash Off the Pipe slash Get Schooled slash whatever it is right now. The source for pretty much hockey in general, Division I RMU, men's and women's hockey. We're going to merge the podcasts for men's and women's for the foreseeable future with everything going on.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we know when men's starts. We're going to talk about that later. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But
I'm Owen Kreps.
I'm John Hanna.
So,
You know our voices.
Yeah, a lot has happened since we've well, you never got to finish the men's hockey podcast technically because they were in the playoffs.
Yeah, because they were supposed to play. They played Holy Cross, beat them in three.
Exactly.
And then we're supposed to play Sacred Heart. I believe it was here.
It was away.
Oh, it was in
Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut. That's where they play. I haven't talked about these hockey teams in about.
Yeah, exactly.
4 months or. What is it?
Longer than that.
6 months, probably half a year.
Exactly. So, well, like what? February, March. Yeah, I think
I think we got sent home like March 15th.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Almost 6 months, or almost 7 months actually now.
Yeah. But we do know what is happening with the AHA. They are coming back. That was announced yesterday. Austin Bechtold wrote an article about it for CSN. Go check that out for all the details on that. But before we get into that, I kind of just want to look over what this podcast is going to be up until the season gets started up again, because we have no idea what's going on with women's hockey right now, and we have a vague idea of what's going on with men's hockey. So, as I said, we're merging the men's and women's hockey podcast for now, and we're going to focus on getting guests in here because there's not a lot of news to talk about.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to try and reach out to Ryan Rodriguez, who is the SID.
Yeah.
We had Larry Snyder on last year.
We had a couple women's hockey players last year, but now I'm going to broaden the horizons, or we're going to broaden the horizons here and try and include more people. And it doesn't even have to be players. Like, I'm curious to see what's going on with, like, Island Sports Center workers, like what they're doing right now, what protocols they have to take into effect. Media coverage that's not us around the area, people that cover these teams like Pittsburgh Hockey Digest. Like, I would love to have
Mitch.
Like Mitch or someone on the podcast like that.
Yeah, even we try and reach out, not through an SID, get some of these former guys like Sean Giles.
Yeah, maybe, exactly. Some former.
Yeah, maybe, you know, JC can call in from Sweden.
Sweden, geez. But yeah, we'll get into also those players signed pro deals. So there has been some sort of news, but most of the news that comes from men's and women's hockey is outside of it, like players signing pro deals or because there's been no games. So let's get into what we missed. But before we get into like what we missed, let's get into how we finished. Fortunately, women's hockey wrapped up their season before COVID hit. And they were able to play a full season. It was unfortunate the way it ended. They didn't win the CHA regular season title like they did in years prior, and they also lost in the CHA finals to Mercyhurst 2-1 after they beat Syracuse in the first round. They finished with a record of 20-12-4 overall, and it was a good season despite no titles, if you will, but a good senior year for Gebhard and kind of the – it was good to see some of the younger girls like take a step up.
Yeah, people like Reagan Kirk, obviously.
Exactly, she had a great freshman year. So yeah, women's hockey was able to conclude, but men's, as we mentioned before, were not. The game that they were set to play, or the series that they were set to play, was Sacred Heart after they beat Holy Cross in a best of three game series. Men's hockey always does that in the playoffs, don't they? It seems like they always come back and like.
Yeah, they've had
dig their way into through the playoffs. They're always the underdogs, and they always
They're never really a good regular season team.
Exactly, and they always show up for the playoffs. Yeah,
I don't know what Derek Schooley tells them, but yeah, they lost the first game against Holy Cross 2-0, then won the next 2-1, and then 5-1 in their last game of the season. Yeah, I guess you can call it.
And no one expected it to be that. I think I specifically remember working that last game. And I remember Derek Schooley, like, walking up the stairs saying, I don't know who he was talking to, but he was like, well, I don't even know if we're going to play next game. And I'm like, why would we not play? And then COVID hit. So students and, by extension, student-athletes were asked to return home around mid-March, the Ides of March. March 15th, around then, of 2020. Women's hockey was able to conclude their season, but men's was not. The NCAA did allow another year of eligibility to players, but I don't even think any player, not just on hockey or any player at RMU, has taken that up. Am I correct with that?
No, there's. I think they announced there was like 17 that...
I'm talking about just RMU.
I know. At RMU, there were like 17 that came back.
Oh, really?
Not for hockey or everything.
Yeah, I know there's no hockey players. I know that like NECA Zeebo moved on for basketball.
Yeah, let me find it real quick.
But seniors were given another year eligibility.
Here we go. Yeah, 17 spring student athletes.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense because it's the spring because they didn't get to play at all.
I thought you were talking about.
Does that apply for...
I don't think winter got it. I don't think winter...
Really? Because men's basketball is the obvious choice of, like, well, mm-hmm. they didn't get to finish their season. They went to the March Madness, and...
I know, but
Were they going to get destroyed in that game? Probably. But were they going to get to experience that game? Yeah, but...
I think they decided that, you know, most of them... Sure, they missed the playoffs, but they had... Yeah. They completed most of the season. Yeah. Well, no one here. I think... Lacrosse barely started their season, I think.
Yeah, lacrosse, softball, well, men's and women's lacrosse. And
yeah,
softball.
They had like
that makes
10
sense
games
for
or something.
People to come back there, but yeah, it is unfortunate for the men's hockey players and the men's basketball players. And did women's basketball complete their season?
They did. They won the NEC, but never were able to play March Madness.
Okay, so they were in the same boat as men's basketball.
Yeah.
So yeah, COVID sent us home at RMU around March.
Oh, no, excuse me. Women's didn't even get to play the... they beat Wagner in the first game of the tournament. Then Sacred Heart was scheduled for the 12th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they didn't even get to finish the...
Correct.
NEC. Well, that'll all change in terms of... I mean, hockey's not changing conferences, but...
No, but there are conference changes, so
yes,
we can... Are we talking about those later?
I'm talking about the Horizon League. We'll talk about... Well, let's get into the AHA's return to play. This was announced yesterday. November 13th and November 14th are the dates to mark if you're a NCAA Division I college hockey fan in the AHA. But they're doing sort of bubbles, but they're not. Like, there will still be travel. They've separated...
It's localized.
Yeah, localized travel. They've separated 10 teams into two pods, 5 teams in the east and 5 in the west. RMU will be in the west with Canisius, Mercyhurst, RIT, and Niagara, and in the east, AIC, Army, Holy Cross, Bentley, and Sacred Heart. So there'll be a minimum of 24 games for each team, and they will play each other 5 times. And there's a potential to have up to 28 regular season games. The playoffs are still being worked out. If fans will be in attendance, will still be worked out. If media will be in attendance, will still worked out. But it's good that we at least have this.
Because I know the Steelers, mm-hmm. aren't they having fans? Weren't there fans at Heinz?
Limited, yeah.
So I'd imagine there'd be, you know, limited fans at the island maybe, but that is enclosed, so.
Yeah. It's up in the air what's going to happen. But at least we know this tad bit of information. Austin Bechtold wrote an article about it on CSN or CSC. Go check that out. And then the Atlantic Hockey tweeted out, quote, just breaking news, directors have approved a schedule for up to 28 games that brings hockey as soon as November 13th.
And then
so good news for...
One other thing about the schedule.
Yeah.
Each team will be playing against the 5 pod members, and then Air Force for 2, and then also LIU, who is being worked in as a scheduling partner.
Okay.
Because LIU just got a team, or they
a
had
men's
like
hockey
a
team.
They had like a D2 team, I think.
And they moved up to D1.
Yeah, and then added the women's
team.
Okay,
so they're incorporating LIU in there. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be weird in terms of like playing these teams over and over again. It's gonna build up the rivalries even more. Like, you know how feisty men's hockey can get,
especially against like RIT.
Exactly, like. If we're going to play these guys 5 times within a stretch of, like, 20 games, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it.
I mean, the good news for RMU is at least last year, you know, RIT and Niagara... Canisius and Mercyhurst were not really all that good last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, RIT and Niagara were, but if they're in the East, that's the division of just everyone there is good.
Yeah. But as for the CHA women's hockey, we really don't know what the status is currently. Well, both teams, men's and women's, have been on the ice practicing. They've had picture days, stuff like that. They're going about it as if it is somewhat of a normal season. They're preparing for whatever awaits them. But the CHA released a statement back on September 10th stating the 11 Division I men's and women's, and for our case it's just women's, ice hockey conferences represented by the Hockey Commissions Association are committed to providing memorable experiences for student athletes during the upcoming seasons. The conferences have been working together on a plan to return to play with a focus on the health and safety of everyone associated within our campus communities. Due to the impact of COVID-19, we continue to have across the country and within higher education, the start of competition for D1 college hockey will be delayed. Each conference will announce plans for the season individually. We look forward to enjoying the college hockey experience of this season. So basically what that says is we don't know what's happening.
No, and I don't know if they I don't know what – I know the Atlantic Hockey, but I don't know. Did Big Ten or ECAC, any of the others announce
anything? I haven't seen anything. This AHA news came out yesterday,
yeah.
Which is, like, it's good that we're recording this today, like, and we didn't record it yesterday and then have the news come out. And, again, like, we're not rushing any return-to-play programs to get back into work of things. There's a global pandemic going on. Safety is our number one priority here, and – if we can't be there as media, it's fine, considering it's for the well-being of everyone there. So let's move on to non-COVID stuff.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
COVID's just depressing.
It is depressing. But what isn't depressing is seven players that played last year for men's and women's.
Well, not last year because last season. Yeah, I thought you had never mind. I'm stupid.
No, I didn't put like Legault and people like that.
Okay.
Seven players that played last year are now or have signed pro deals. Five men's players and two women's players. Sean Giles signs with the Cincinnati Cyclones of the ECHL, which is the affiliate of the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, he was just like he was your prototypical defensive defenseman.
Exactly.
He
had a very solid couple runs there. He scored a couple goals, which he didn't score much, but
no,
he's a
he had
defensive
a couple,
defenseman.
He had a couple big ones.
Exactly. That's what you want from those type of guys. Justin Kapelmaster, who I actually voted as the best goalie in RMU men's history.
I know. That was a bit...
I mean, I really... Like, granted, I've not seen every RMU men's hockey team, but mm-hmm. not to say that they haven't had that they've had bad goalies, but they just haven't... Goaltending hasn't been a position that's really stood out in terms of phenomenal players that have come through the organization. I think if Kapelmaster would have been...
Here all four years,
he would have been the easy number one choice as the best goaltender in RMU history. And for those of you that don't know what I'm referencing, we've started a series at Century here called The All-Time Best Of. We decided it would be just something to do in terms of there's no sports going on right now. Let's look back on sports that have already happened and recap all the, 13? How many college sports do we have here? 13
we
or
have,
16?
I think we have, 17.
I think it's 16.
One, two, three.
All the 16 franchises we have on campus here, I'll just say 16. Division I only. And just going through
15.
The all-time best.
15
of everyone. So yeah, I wrote for men's and women's hockey. Both of those are up. Football's coming out next week or this week.
It's going to be probably next week. Softball's coming out this week.
Softball's coming out this
week. So football's going to be next week.
And we're doing all sports franchises here or sports clubs here. You can't really call them franchises.
Teams. That's the word probably.
Yeah. Anyways, Kapelmaster, he signs with the ECHL Kansas City Mavericks, so another player going to the ECHL. They're a ECHL affiliate of the Calgary Flames. Jacob Coleman, who was native of Pittsburgh, signs with
I believe he was technically Moon Township.
Yeah, he was. Worcester Railers, affiliate of the New York Islanders in the ECHL as well. Luke Lynch, Pittsburgh native as well. Wheeling Nailers, goes to the Wheeling Nailers, and an ECHL affiliate of the Penguins. So five players going into the ECHL.
I don't know if they still play because they haven't updated the rosters for this year. But his brother, Zach Lynch, also signed when he graduated.
So yeah.
I don't know if they're still on the same team.
We don't even know.
I don't
even know if the ECHL is having a season right now. I know for a fact the AHL isn't. So
I know that. I think the ECHL said they're coming back like December 12th.
Yeah, every league is up in the air right now. Yeah. Overseas, Daniel Mantenuto signs with Serie A Italy, Asagio Hockey, 1935. He was a great center for the Colonials in his time here. And then also overseas, JC Gebhardt going to the women's side of things. I know she's playing because
they
scored a goal or something. She scored her first goal there, so I know for a fact they're playing. She's with Brynäs IF of the SDHL, which is the Swedish Women's Hockey League. Although she was drafted
sixth overall?
I think it was fourth or sixth. I know it was the first overall pick that the franchise had.
Yeah.
The Toronto Six.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Ottawa 67s.
I'm thinking of the Ottawa 67s, yeah. There's too many sports teams that have
numbers
for, like, 76ers, 49ers. Anyways,
Asiago Hockey, 1935. Yeah, exactly.
J.C. Gebhardt was drafted to the Toronto Six of the NWHL, which is the National Women's Hockey League. She decided to not play there and play in the SDHL. However, her former teammate, Natalie Marcuzzi, is there. I don't think the NWHL is not having a season currently because of COVID, right?
Currently, no. I don't think so.
So a lot of, like, congratulations to all these players on, you know, signing pro deals. And hopefully, just hopefully, we'll be able to see you guys, you know, actually play.
Are NWHL games broadcast anywhere? Are they on, like,
Sportsnet?
Oh, well, that's kind of useless to us.
Yeah, because we're Americans.
Yeah.
So I know for a fact that they're on Sportsnet because I did, like, an article on the state of women's hockey. And
that's right.
The only thing that they did was, was Sportsnet and maybe some YouTube streams here and there. So that concludes our former Colonial Watch. Let's get into the new Colonial Watch. And let's start with coaches. Men's hockey added some new coaching staff. You wrote both of these articles, right?
I don't think I wrote the DeRoche. No, the DeRoche one, we didn't write that.
We didn't cover.
But I believe I wrote the Mike Corbett. He was the former head coach at Alabama Huntsville. I mean, he had a 48-181-24 record. He's been with there 7 years. And, you know, they were a starting team, so it's not expecting him to have a great record.
Yeah.
But Coach Schooley said as soon as they signed, I called Mike immediately when this position opened, and I wanted to make sure that he knew that we were interested in having him be a part of the Colonial program.
That quote sounds like, it says, I called Mike immediately when the position opened. So it sounds like Schooley might have known him from prior coaching positions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm led to believe.
Because I believe they were together at Air Force.
Okay.
Because prior to Alabama, Corbett was an assistant coach with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe they know each other through there, or just, you know, knowing each other.
And he'll be an assistant coach.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other one, Ryan Durocher?
DeRoche.
I want to say. DeRoche. He's coming over from Sioux City.
Yeah, the Sioux City Musketeers of the USHL.
And, yeah, it's – we won't get into in-depth on coaching here as well, we don't even know if we're going to have a season just yet. But congratulations to both of those fellows for joining the coaching staff at RMU, and we look forward to having you on the bench. Let's go over the incoming freshman class for both men's and women's hockey. We've already reviewed the women's hockey ones before, so we'll go over those real quick. Ellie Markovsky, I believe she's a forward. Nikki Legue, defenseman, I want to say.
Nikki Legue, yes, is a defenseman.
Chase Sperling, also a defenseman?
Yes.
And then Molly Padone, who I don't think we reviewed her.
No, she was a signing recruit over the summer.
Newer recruit.
And
Nikki Legue is cousins with Maggie Legue, former RMU defender and one of the best.
Molly Padone, forward from Trinity, Florida.
So congratulations on those four. They'll hopefully have an impact. And then on the men's side, Randy Hernandez.
Who is good.
Is he?
Yeah, Randy Hernandez actually had an article written about him in NHL.com.
Yeah, because he's the first Cuban-American, something like
that. One of the first.
Cuban descent?
Yeah, Cuban descent. Last year with the Brooks Bandits of the Alberta Junior Hockey League, 95 points in 57 games.
What does he play? Is he a center?
He's a, I believe it's just forward.
Just forward.
Yeah, I don't think.
That's how it typically is in college hockey. If you play forward, you play center, wing, and wing. Like, You're gonna have to be versatile. You're gonna have to learn how to take faceoffs, even if you're playing on the right side or left side. Gavin Goulash, excuse me. Noah West, Matt Mutton, Kyler Heed, Matthew Guerrera, Brian Kramer, and David LaFrance are the other seven incoming freshmen for men's hockey. Is there any notable things on them? You looked up any of the elite prospects on them?
Nothing too crazy. Noah West is a goaltender, so okay. After obviously Capmaster left, it's a bit of a question. You have Reed Cooper still, Dylan Lubismeyer, and now Noah West. So those are both three guys to battle it out there.
Yeah, it's hopefully we'll get to see these guys in action. That being, hopefully they'll make it in the lineup, and obviously hopefully we'll have a season in the first place. But we'll pretty much wrap it up here, concluding. But before we go, women's hockey also named team captains. There's really not much to discuss here. It's pretty much the obvious choices. Lexi Templeman is your captain. Emily Curlett and Emily Harley are your assistant captains. No real debates there. I maybe speculated that Curlett might get the C over Templeman, but Templeman's been there forever. She's been a leader, and it's pretty.
Assistant captain
Exactly. They're leaders there no matter what. So that'll pretty much conclude it for this one. We'll hopefully have a guest next week because, as we mentioned before, there's really not much to talk about. We wanted this episode to pretty much just be a recap of what happened since COVID hit, what this podcast is going to be now, and just kind of a welcome back type episode. But as I mentioned before, the all-time best series is up on CSN. I get them mixed
CSC's
up all
the show.
Time. CSC's the show. CSN's the site. Absolutely keep it tuned in here at RMU Century Media, RMU Radio, all those good things. We'll see you guys later. We'll be back. We record every Fridays, and we'll hopefully have a guest on next week. I'm Owen Krepps.
I'm John Hanna.
And we'll see you.
Twitters?
Oh, yeah. I'm at Krepps Century.
I'm at CSN_Hanna.
All right. And we'll see you guys next week.